the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So about 2 years ago, a story about a very unique 8-year-old boy was circling the news. Zion Harvey had lost both his hands and his legs below the knee to infection as a 2-year-old boy. Documents what his life was like, and I'm sure as you can imagine, life was not easy for an otherwise active, bright, and strong little boy and his dedicated mom. This is not why Zion was unique. Zion was unique because 2 years ago, he was the first child in the whole world to receive a double hand transplant. Remember this story. We're going to come back to it. In our see a scene of Jesus confronted by the religious leaders, folks like me in fancy robes who are in charge, right? Well, they have questions for Jesus, questions about his authority. Who gave you the right to be here, Jesus? Who says you're in charge? Who said that you get to teach and preach? What authority do you have, Jesus, to tell us or the people what to do? The religious leaders ask these questions, but I think that Jesus himself might have wondered a few of these things already. He might have heard these own questions and doubts in his own mind. Haven't you? Haven't you ever heard those kinds of questions or doubts? Who said you could be here? You don't belong here. Do you have the right to teach others? You don't have the skills. Who let you be a parent? You don't know what you're doing. Who let you in the doors of the church? You don't deserve to be there. You haven't been in church in months. Why did you show up today? Who gave you the right? You don't have the authority. Jesus' response to these questions of his authority is the parable of the two sons. Jesus can never just answer a question yes or no, right? You ever notice that? He has to tell a story. Well, today it's the story of the two sons. A man has two sons, Jesus says. One told him he would not go work in the vineyard or for our, let's say, mow the lawn. No, Dad, I'm not going to go mow the lawn. But eventually he goes out and he mows the lawn. The second son tells him that he will do it, but later on he finds better things to do and never ends up mowing the lawn. Which of the two did what their father asked, Jesus said. The first son, they all answer. Of course, it's the first son, Jesus says. You religious leaders, he continues, you religious leaders, you talk a good game, and you say you're committed to God's work. You say that you love the Lord, and yet you have something in common with that second son. But even the prostitutes and the tax collectors, those people you don't like, those people who don't deserve to be here, along with the first son, they get it. They get it better than you. Because what matters isn't words or intentions, Jesus says. What matters is action. Jesus might sum it up like this. Actions speak louder than words. And there, the voices of the religious leaders, the voices in his own head or the voices in our heads are told, be quiet. Be quiet. I matter. These people matter. You matter. We have all the authority we need. This is our second week here at St. Stephen's of a 2-month series on themes of the Protestant Reformation. And today's theme is vocation. I use that word with the kids, not vacation, right? We might be, we're in September now, vacation is over, but it's the word vocation, vocation. Have you heard that word? It's kind of a fancy church word, right? Well, like many fancy church words, vocation comes from a Latin word. The Latin word vocare, which means to call. When we use the word vocation in church, we're not just talking about our job or our career. Our vocation is what God is calling us to do in the world. Vocation is how we allow our actions to speak louder than our words. Vocation is how every day, in moments large and small, we live out our faith. In Martin Luther's day, it was thought that only certain people had a vocation. Only a certain type of person was good enough to have a calling from God. People who were religious leaders, like those in the gospel reading, or priests, or nuns, or princes, mighty rulers, those were the people that had a vocation. Those were the people that had a calling. And their roles in life were seen as being more important in God's eyes than other people's. That might sound a bit strange, but it's not so different today, is it, right? We're very impressed when someone introduces themselves as a neurosurgeon, but not so impressed when they happen to introduce themselves as maybe a waitress. But Jesus didn't buy that. He saw how even the despised prostitutes and tax collectors could live out a calling from God. And Martin Luther didn't buy it either. He believed that God called everyone to work for God's kingdom wherever they happened to be in life. No profession or role was greater than any other. All that mattered was that God is glorified. In our second reading today, Martin Luther made it clear that it is not only the prince who makes a difference. Everyone is included in the work of God, from a ruler to a shoemaker to a tailor, a scribe, or a reader. It is not just what we do, it is how we do it. How each and every one live out our faith in our everyday life and work. I tried to make this point to the kids with that silly song, the sewer song, right? I hope you all go home and have that stuck in your day as a memento of our time together. The lesson of that song, Jesus' lesson in the gospel, teaches us that even good old sewer worker Bruce is an important guy with an important job and an important calling from God. And today, as we bless our students and our educators with back-to-school blessings, we might remember that our students live out their vocation by studying hard, making use of all the resources available to them, learning well and as much as possible. God has called them to be students. We might also remember that our teachers live out their vocation by teaching well, by caring for the well-being of their students. Quality in best resources and curriculum available, improving their methods, and always demonstrating care and kindness as an example for the children they serve. That's a big calling. Today, as we bless our students, educators, we might also remember Diane Diaz, who fulfilled that vocation at St. Stephen's Nursery School for 30 years, working with our three-year-olds and showing them such care and dedication. Our visitors from Pinecrest, our young adults with us today, remind us of this too. These young adults go to camp for just 1 week out of the whole year, just 1 week, and then they're sent back out, whether they like it or not, to life in the world. They are sent back to jobs and studies, to friends and families, to the challenges of daily life with all its ups and downs, to live out their vocation, to live out their life in the world as Christians, not 1 week a year, but a whole nother 51 weeks a year on top of that. So today I wonder, to what vocation is God calling you? Each and every one of you sitting here today has a calling from God. To what vocation is God calling you? Do you think you're not up for one? That you don't belong? Maybe you don't have the authority. Think again. Because each one of us is worthy of God's love and God's calling. And each of us has a vocation to which, with the help of God, we can aspire. Are you called to be a parent, a spouse, a daughter or son, a brother or sister? An office worker, a citizen of the United States, a musician, a construction worker, a maintenance professional, or an electrician, an accountant or a software engineer, an athlete or a coach. Maybe you're called to be a sewer worker, like good old Bruce. You can have more than one vocation at a time. How might you fulfill your vocation and live out the love of God in your everyday life and roles? Because what we do in our everyday lives, it matters, you guys. It really matters. There's this wonderful quote from Teresa of Avila. It goes, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ must look out on the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless the people. What we do in our daily lives matters. How we treat other people matters. How we work for those in need, or relate to immigrants and welcome strangers, or show kindness to those who deserve it and those who don't, it matters. Because what you do in your daily life reminds the world that all of creation is saturated with the presence of God, that the Spirit of God enfolds us all, and that Jesus is ever present with us. God needs us in our vocations. God needs us to be God's hands and feet. In our denomination, the first Sunday after Labor Day, which is today, of course, is always dedicated as God's Work, Our Hands Day. That day is meant to remind us of this. It's meant to encourage churches to get out from behind their four walls, which we have maybe literally done today, but it's to encourage churches to get out from behind their four walls and to use their hands as God's own hands to love and serve. But we aren't on our own to do this. We lift one another up to live this way. As we bless our students and our teachers today, that's really what we're reminding them of. That they are not alone in their vocation, and that's what we should be reminded of too. God's Spirit empowers us to live this way. Remember that story from the beginning of the sermon, the one I told you to hang on to, about Zion Harvey and the double hand transplant? Well, it was a hard road of recovery for Zion, as you might imagine. But through the hard work of doctors and nurses and physical therapists and, of course, his mother, through their hard work, the transplant has been successful. And with new hands, he can now excel in the world in new ways. Now, 2 years later, at the age of 10, Zion can do many of the things other kids his age could always do. Throw a football, swing a baseball bat, help his mom mix up cookies. By the skills and knowledge of medical workers, Zion was given new hands so that he might touch and play and experience and serve the world around him. And by the grace of God, we might remember today, the grace of God, so are we given new hands. The hands of God are given to us. The hands of God are trusted to us so that through us, God might touch and play and experience and serve the world. It is God's work and our hands. Thanks be to God. Amen.